It's Rock Southern California, 95.5 KLOS Sports on Tap with JD in the Bush. Good morning. We've got a bunch of stuff for you. And a matter of fact, on the program today, I think Oakland, Denver, I'm jumping ahead here just a little bit for my boss of the big screen. I think this is the game of the week for me. Oakland at home, Denver, the defense, all of that talk. For me, that's what it's going to be. But because of that, we know, Rob and I know Nick Ferguson a little bit. Who used to play for the Broncos, a couple years for the Jets, too. But we're going to call up Nick this morning and get Nick's perspective, a player's perspective on these rivalry games. He's got a good one today.
Yeah, and not only that, too, is he's got some wit about him. He's the kind of guy that you want to have on because Nick's doing some talk show hosting on the side as well. He's not just an athlete. He's going to be like,
oh, no, he's got an opinion.
Oh, God, he gives you 3 or 4 seconds, you know, the same cliche. I'm just trying to take one day at a time, see what I can do to help out the team, blah, 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 blah. I mean, Nick Ferguson is, you know, certainly – a great guy to have to be able to talk about that. In some game, that's going to be you got two teams that are 6-2 taking on each other. You got the Raiders who are 1-2 at home, but 5-0 on the road.
5-0 on the road.
5-0 on the road. And they
What's
won a game
about?
With 23 penalties.
How did they beat the Buccaneers?
I have no idea. You know, it's funny because last week when I was watching my phone and I kept thinking my phone was freezing up in the Superdome because I'm keeping an eye on that game. I'm like, this game is going forever. How bad is my Slingbox lagging on me? What's that? Man, it's been stuck in the fourth quarter. It looks like they're calling the same thing over and over again. I had no idea until later on to find out that it was actually a record in terms of penalties.
Penalties.
They had 23 penalties. Most teams go 11, maybe 12 penalties total, but one of our favorite portions of the show, JD, we like to take a look back last week and see just how smart we were or weren't usually in this case. I mean, we're the experts, right? It's time now for who went off, who didn't go off last week.
Football. Let's go. Let's see how smart the experts were last week.
Right.
It's who goes off.
Tom Brady, Buffalo shut out New England first time through. Brady wasn't playing. Brady's back. He's pissed off. Rex Ryan runs his mouth. I think Belichick, if they're up 80-0, is going to have him throwing for it on, you know, third down and one day long. Tom Brady.
All right, for me, it's going to be Mike Evans, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Jameis Winston only has eyes for Mike Evans right now. He throws to him all the time, all day long, and so far it pays off quite a bit. His targets just the last couple of weeks, 13 targets, 11, 12, 13. His last 4 weeks, throws at him all the time. I'm going to go with Mike Evans as who goes off this week. Oh, I absolutely killed it.
Yeah,
I killed it.
You did.
150
awesome.
Yards and four touchdowns. And
you know, if people aren't really paying attention, they're not going to catch it.
No.
I wouldn't throw you under the bus like that.
Yeah, you would.
No,
yeah, if I didn't know that you already knew. Yeah, that was my prediction for Mike Evans for last Sunday.
Against Oakland.
Against Oakland.
Which
where
he had four receptions, 50
side.
Yards.
It was the Raiders who went off.
Should have gone Amari Cooper. Yeah, Amari Cooper
yeah,
killed
Amari
it.
Cooper did. Yep. Yeah, he went for like 20 yards or something like that. And then the following week, I mean, I just have him flip-flopped.
Yep.
I just had the weeks wrong.
That's what you meant, man. That's what you actually meant. This you're just looking ahead.
Yeah.
You're one of those guys who can foresee the future.
That's,
you know? That's
what
that's what's great about you. I had Mr. Brady. Now, like I said, whether you call that easy or not, look, he's upset at Buffalo. All right, Buffalo's a team that got hot for a brief cup of coffee, won a couple of games. Now they're 4-4. They're going
to
lose
back
tomorrow
to
night up in Seattle and fall below 500. Tom Brady, 315 yards, not one, not two, not three, but four touchdown passes, which in the NFL is a tremendous game. I mean, in college, that's a great game, but four in the NFL, come on, are you kidding me? 41-25, they roll the Patriots. And Rex Ryan had this coming. Honestly, Rex Ryan's still like a high school coach. You see the crap that he was spitting out of his mouth after they won 16-0 there at Foxborough,
sure.
You know, and just, I mean, you're just,
that's
you're,
what
you're
he does, that's his act.
You're poking the bear, I get it, but isn't there a point in time where you're an NFL, I mean, Rex Ryan's that buddy that you drink beers with at Chili's, okay? He's a coordinator somewhere. He's not a head coach, a guy you want representing your organization. And it's not just football. He carries it all over in everything he does.
Yeah, yeah. As a matter of fact, we just had this great World Series Game 7,
tremendous.
Right? People talking about, like, greatest of all time, yada, yada, all this kind of stuff. It depends on your vantage point, I suppose, as to how much you loved it. But as a baseball purist, which I am,
right.
I mean, I loved it from a baseball standpoint.
Right.
It had everything, including the rain
delay. We would have loved it more if the Dodgers or Giants Giants were in it, but that's besides the point.
Rex Ryan decides, hey, he wakes up one morning and decides, you know what? Buffalo is pretty close to Cleveland, like driving distance to Cleveland.
2 hours from me.
So he gets with some of his assistant coaches and friends and decides, hey, let's get some World Series tickets and a bus, a charter bus, and go down there.
Yeah.
So you know they grab some
that
cash.
That ticket was $1,000. Standing room only. About
tickets.
$3,000 to get in there and sit
in the
down.
Outfield.
Yeah, this is a price.
$1,000 a piece. So $12,000 just for the 12 of them that went. Then charter a bus, drive down there,
and you know
watch the game.
The bus had poles on it, and it had entertainment on there, and I'm sure it had beverages.
Well, not, I don't know about polls, but
no,
I'm sure it was entertainment.
Election polls, that's what I meant.
Okay, I'm sorry. My dirty mind. So they get down there, they watch the whole game, the rain delay comes in, and Rex goes, you know what? We can't hang around for this. We got to go. They leave. They left.
The rain delay was 20 minutes.
Yeah, 17-minute rain delay. The whole thing wrapped up within 45. He saved a grand total of about 45 minutes by leaving early, and he and all of his friends, all of his buddies, they missed the end of Game 7 of the World Series because, we got to go to work tomorrow.
How many people do you think were like, thanks, Rex, on the way back home? Yeah, for 45 minutes. I mean, come on, man. That's Rex Ryan, though, for you.
That's
in a nutshell. And what does Rex Ryan do without previewing the Hawks Monday night game too much? He signs a blast from the past, Percy Harvin.
Percy Harvin.
Who hasn't played in a couple years because he knows he left Seattle on tremendously poor terms when the Seahawks traded for him. Let's bring back a guy that Seahawks fans will absolutely hate. Now maybe we're going to start him. We may even make him a captain for the game. The dude hasn't taken a snap in a couple of years.
This is the same coach that went out and hired the linebacker that punched Geno Smith in the jaw and broke his jaw. Oh, you broke the quarterback's jaw of our competition? Come on over. You can have a job over here. That's Rex Ryan.
Yeah, believe me. I'm talking to my friends in Seattle. They're like, everybody's signing up to play special teams this week if Percy Harvin gets kickoff returns. They're going to blow that fool up. They don't care if they get a targeting penalty.
He's only been a year removed from the game. He was playing for Buffalo a year ago when he was healthy enough to play, so we'll see what happens. That is a good preview, and we'll talk more about that. Alex Gellhart from the NFL Network right about the bottom of the hour, about 15 minutes from now. Up next, we'll do the Ram Report for you. It's 95.5 KLOS Sports on Tap. It's Rock of Southern California, 95.5 KLOS. The Seattle defense.
Not what your country can do. Oh, boy. Oh, JFK.
Sports on tap and
a
Ram
report.
I'm
sad this week, though. I'm sad they're going to stop playing those political ads after. I mean,
oh, my God.
Does it not get worse every
single... I'm ready to stick an ice pick in my ears, and I'm in the radio business.
Oh, man.
I mean, come on already. Jeez.
You know the best part about it, I love, is when I come outside of Sam's Club and there's some idiot there. Hey, can you sign up for Proposition 298-Q? I'm like, dude, sorry, I'm Canadian. I can't. You know, and then when I go to Vancouver...
See, that's good for it. It's easy for you.
Yeah,
bang. You walk...
When I walk out in Vancouver...
I'm sorry, I'm an American.
I said, sorry, bro, I'm an American. I'm in a win-win either way.
That's
I give them your cell phone number, so if you're getting all those calls...
Oh, that's where they're coming
from.
Panthers coming to town at the Coliseum today to take on the Rams.
Yeah, Mr. Cam Newton. And Cam's doing something. Oh, my God.
Cam's
doing something that's great. Now, see here. Look, we know that quarterbacks get more protection than anybody in football.
Do.
We know
especially
that.
Now.
You protect the guy. But Cam feels that I'm the one guy out of 32 that you're not protecting, which is garbage because the league makes money when quarterbacks are healthy and play. Attendance is up.
Of course.
Ratings is up. Jersey sales are up. They're going to do everything they can to protect Cam. He gets slapped around in the helmet a couple of times by a vicious Denver defense in week one, and he's just had this hanging over his head. The guy gets on the phone with Roger Goodell this week. You know what? I want to talk to the commissioner. Have you seen Aaron Rodgers? Have you seen Tom Brady, of course, won't talk to Goodell.
Oh, no.
You seen other quarterbacks? Did Peyton ever say, yo, look, Raj, can I get a little more protection? And I mean, come on, man.
It's ridiculous.
Nobody does
it's
that.
It's called football.
It is called football. Get up there, man up, and then Cam had to offer up his eloquence on how the conversation went with Roger Goodell this week.
You know, I'm not a dummy or oblivious to the fact that I run the football more than probably any quarterback, you know, that's played this game does. And I'm fine with that. But, you know, in the pocket, that's all I'm asking for, just to get certain things, you know, kind of standard of every person getting the same calls. That's all.
You know, it's really a shame that he doesn't understand the very game that he plays, that he's paid millions of dollars to play. It's like, you know, I understand that I run. Yeah, well, then you understand the need for defenders to try and tackle you in the pocket before you run out of the pocket.
Correct, yeah. I got two words for you. Offensive line, okay? Left tackle, blind side. Why don't you watch the movie, okay?
Watch the movie.
You get a better offensive line, you're going to be fine in the pocket. They do a better job of blocking you. I go through that every week watching my quarterback with a guy who used to be able to run before he had a bad wheel and a bad knee and a bad pec. Now he can't. That's why the team is suffering.
We need to get into your Seahawk report today and find out what's wrong with your team. Russell Wilson has thrown a touchdown pass a month, bro. What's going on over there?
He hasn't because, well, like I said, his pec's bothering. But B, honestly, the biggest problem is offensive line. You and I know because we study football. We watch things. People don't like to talk about it. What do they like to talk? Fantasy and Antonio Brown. What's Julio going to get me? People don't like to see that without an offensive line, there has never been a team that has gone on and won a Super Bowl without a good offensive line.
The unsung hero, man.
You need to open a hole for your running back. And if you can do that, he can run, and that gives you passing options.
Super Bowl winning quarterback. Anybody. Ask any of them what kind of O-line they had, and they'll go over the moon.
Trent Dilfer will tell you that as well. There's a reason that they leave these guys Rolexes.
The line won that instead of Dilfer.
Yes, the line won that thing.
Now, the defense won
that. Which is why I will always claim this, and I know you're a Detroit guy. You love the Lions as well, too. But I will say this. Barry Sanders was, sorry, Cowboy fans, the best running back in NFL history, because if he would have ran behind Emmitt's line in Dallas, he would still be running. He made something out of nothing behind a bunch of high school dudes that couldn't play at Bishop Amat out there, you know, for the Detroit Lions. That's how good Barry Sanders. So the fact he did it was a freak show.
Back to Cam for a second to bring this full circle. I know this is the Ram report and we're talking all about Cam Newton, but you know that the play that he was injured on, that he was concussed on and missed a week of play. I mean, I'm going to flip the script on Cam, and I'm going to say it's your own arrogance that is the problem. Like, he walked up to the goal line like, oh, here, I'm like, you're turning in a Coke bottle, you know, for your quarter or something. Like, oh, here. No, you have to break the threshold, and it's their job to stop you from that. So you got popped in the head.
Yeah,
I mean, look,
style
that's football,
points,
and it happens. You know, I think Cam Newton is displaying a level of arrogance never seen before in NFL quarterbacks.
Yes, style points. You know, I mean, here's an idiot that's concussed, has to miss time, and yet he goes right through downtown Charlotte in rush hour on a Segway without a helmet on. Okay, so here's a guy riding a motorized scooter around, and no one's going to recognize me, and I'm only 6'6" in the franchise quarterback here of our star football team. No one's going to realize. People taking pictures out their car window, posting that thing up, you know, 30 seconds later. So, but the Rams, can they get this done? I don't know what I'm going to get with the Rams.
It's a tough assignment because they got no quarterback play, and I'm not even a Rams fan, but I'm saying as a football fan, I want to see this quarterback. Right. Roll the kid out there.
Did they not start 3-1? They did. Everybody was over the moon, and then boom, a couple of lot here and there. So what are we going to get? Todd Gurley, he's had a disappointing season. He's not a disappointment.
And why is he having a disappointing season? He's got no quarterback play, and so you stack the box on everybody. I mean, we'll talk to Alex about this because his guys over the NFL Network saying it's all about offensive line. I'm not so sure that it's even bad offensive line. It's when you know Todd Gurley's going to get the ball, you just stack the box and crowd it up, and you don't let him go anywhere because you're not going to get hurt by that quarterback.
O-lines open up holes for your running game. They protect your quarterback and give him time to throw. Right. The Saints had a great offensive line last week. I'm counting. I'm yelling right there. One Mississippi, two Mississippi, three. I counted to 50 Mississippi before I got drunk and spilled my margarita all over the place. That's how long Drew Brees had to throw the football, and it made me sick.
Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll help you tweak your fantasy lineup. Alex Gelhar from the NFL Network slides by. He's coming up on 95.5 KLOS.
Indeed, they are true. It's Sports on Tap, 95.5 KLOS. Well, at least they're true in my mind, which means they're probably lies. All right,
all are made up.
Well, it's our fact. I don't think. Listen.
Truth be told, here, seriously, Week 9, none of these have been made up so far.
No, none of them have. No,
because
we've talked.
I mean, honestly, I accuse him of making them up all the time, but he's not.
They're weird, obscure things. Just stuff I think about when I'm just sitting around, you know, looking at the bottom of my glass on Bourbon Street. I'm like, hey, I got another one. Kind of how this was. So last week we talked rock, paper, scissors, the greatest game ever. It's the greatest way to solve tiebreakers. Right. I don't want your coin. You either that or we're going to fight. One or the other. What do you want to do? All right. It's a civil way. All right. BYU, all right, Brigham Young University, hosted 826 rock, paper, scissors players in 2008. That's how they have fun.
To set a record?
I got a kid in high school who wants to go to BYU.
This is a big weekend event at BYU. Let's have a rock, paper, scissors.
I'm like, if you go to BYU, you're taking the bus. If you go to UW, I'll buy you a Jeep. Okay, so the choice is yours. Not like there's any pressure there. Have fun with your rock, paper, scissors there. It inspired students from around the world to get on board. Even Canada, my beloved home country.
To break that record. What, your country?
My country. So what they did next year, Canada one-upped them. 1,161 students from Colonel by the Secondary School. It's in Gloucester, Canada over on
Where
the eastern side. There's nine provinces. I'll show you after the show here.
Thank you.
All right, what happened is they said, hey, let's rock it out here, and they blew them out by an extra 340 people. So 1,161 nerds getting together when it's cold outside in between the hockey intermissions. Rock, paper, scissors, trying to get a bureaucrat, which is when you win three games in a row. So who's got next?
Right? Who do you want to take on? Should we call SC?
Nah.
See if they want a PCU in Gloucester?
I think you should call Texas A&M because now their season's over.
Oh.
Too soon, SEC. Give me
a
break.
A shot.
You guys are garbage. You're top heavy with Alabama. And that's
Alex
it.
Gellar from the NFL Network does his drive-by for your fantasy football team. It's coming up next, 95.5 KLOS.
Let's go!
Here's Alex Gellar from the NFL Network.
And here's Alex strolling in the door now.
Alex, that's your cue.
That's my cue. See, we didn't have this well timed, well rehearsed. It's kind of a rainy morning.
What do we got to introduce you now? I mean, did you not hear the sounder introduce you?
I like to kind of have you guys warm the audience up to me as well.
I didn't want
to
be here for the segment. I thought I was taking it off.
So with Arizona, Chicago, Cincinnati, Houston, New England, and Washington all gone fishing this weekend.
Yeah.
Man, we got a buttload of people to cover for. Should we start, just kind of go down the line a little bit because people are looking for so many people? Maybe a couple of quarterbacks, a couple of running backs.
Yeah,
that you like this.
Why do they do that, too? Why do a few weeks ago they have two or three teams with buys and they have 45 teams with buys this week? Why can't they stagger it more? Four teams each week.
Let me ask the guy that works at the NFL Network.
Now,
Alex?
See, if I had the answers to those questions, I'd be working on Park Avenue in New York with that office and not out here on the radio station with you guys.
Stay here in Culver City at 7 a.m. with us.
That's true. Let's start with a couple of quarterbacks because, man, there's a lot of signal callers on the sideline this week. Who do you like off the waiver wire?
A couple guys you could look to. Ryan Tannehill is playing that Jets secondary. I mean, I know starting Ryan Tannehill might give you a little bit of indigestion today, but that Jets secondary hasn't really been able to stop anybody. And you could also look to Trevor Siemian maybe against Oakland. Case Keenum maybe against Carolina.
I don't want any part of that Oakland game.
Or Nick Foles. Nick Foles could be an option too for the Chiefs. He
Nick
was airing
Foles
it out a little
is
bit last time.
Is interesting because remember Nick Foles? He used to play for the Philadelphia Eagles. Do you remember that Nick Foles?
His magical 27-2 year.
Well, he throws the ball downfield. He does something that Alex Smith doesn't do. I would think that Jeremy Maclin would be in his locker before the game. Look, man. I'm open. Okay, I'm open deep. Throw me the ball.
You're playing the Jaguars. How much does a start Nick Foles have to do with that?
Well, a little bit, but their defense has been better of late. Jalen Ramsey's actually playing really well, which is why I might be worried about Jeremy Maclin. Well, they've won two games because Blake Bortles can't do anything until the fourth quarter.
Of course. Hey, I got a question. I'm sure the answer is no, but I mean, you and JD are all into every fantasy football stat out there. He brought up what's wrong with my Seahawks, and it's very easy. Their offensive line is garbage. You can't open up a hole for the running game, which is why they're 31st in the league. Mm-hmm. Wilson doesn't have time to get out of the way because he's injured. That's why things are going south. Is there any kind of league you've ever heard where you have to draft maybe by position, or if you have an offensive tackle who doesn't give up a sack, doesn't give up a hurry, a letdown, a knockdown, he gets you points? That would be cool to actually have these guys learn how to draft offensive lines because that's really where football games are won and
Rob
lost.
Wants is he wants to be able to draft every position on the team.
Yeah. What I want is him to trade for Joe Thomas.
In half a season, we've hooked him in fantasy football so bad, he wants a team where he's got to manage every single position.
Yeah. I think what hurts, too, is Russell Wilson has injuries to three different limbs right now.
Correct.
Of
three.
Four.
Right.
That's kind of hard to play a sport when three of your four limbs are injured.
People are looking over that. They're going to win tomorrow night. I look forward to that. And then they're just going to act. I'm not even going to watch the following Sunday when they lose 27-7 at New England.
Oh, I was going to say, the Patriot game, you're not going to go to that one?
I'm not going to watch
that. Not flying to Foxborough for that one?
No, I'm not going to that one.
Alex, a lot of people are wondering whether Randall Cobb is going to play in this game. He's been questionable. It hasn't sounded promising to this point. Are we still looking at game time decision?
I mean, I'm sure he will be a game time decision, but everything I was hearing and reading this morning is that he's going to be out. With Devontae Davis being in for the Colts, he's probably going to shadow Jordy Nelson. That almost makes Devontae Adams and Ty Montgomery the best plays on that offense.
Wow.
You know, Drew Brees, you got to start him going against San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
If he could get 25 off Seattle, although it took him all game to do so, what's he going to do out there in San Francisco where they have no idea what's happening with that 1-6 team?
Yeah, Drew Brees is a great start. Normally you want to start him at home, but on the road against a team like this,
the
49ers, don't be afraid of it at all.
Yep.
Running backs. Wow, David Johnson is on the sidelines. So many people. The tandem in Cincinnati, both of those guys. No LeGarrette Blount. A lot of guys sitting this week. We need some ball carriers. What do you got?
Well, just this morning, it sounds like Carlos Hyde, they're going to keep him on the shelf for one more week in San Francisco, too, which that's kind of a messy committee, but it sounds like Dwan Harris is the guy.
Okay.
He didn't get the start last week, got the most run, is going to get the start this week. Could be a decent guy to pick up and throw out there.
Okay.
It's possible to be a great fantasy football numbers guy and be an overrated player. I'll give you two names. One I can see right off the top of my head in Blake Bortles.
Yes.
All right. The other I'm going to say, and it may be unpopular, Andrew Luck. I think Andrew Luck is not a franchise guy. I wouldn't build everything. He's not the next Peyton Manning there. I don't care if he hasn't had as many weapons.
He suffers from the same problem as your quarterback does. It's probably the worst offensive line in the league. He's been sacked more than any other quarterback in the NFL.
But you know what? If he shaved that neck beard, that would add some a little bit of mobility
might
to him.
Might keep him a little quicker. Less drag
faster
when he's running around.
Well, no, if you have a neck beard, you run a 5.5, you know, 40. You run a 4.4 if you shave it. I mean, I'm just telling you, Drew.
No.
You went to Stanford. You know that.
Fantasy's an interesting game because people can't separate that sometimes.
Right.
Even if they're not a great player, if they score you fantasy points, it doesn't matter. Like Colin Kaepernick a couple weeks ago threw like 45% of his passes, still put up 18 fantasy points.
Yeah, fantasy points versus actually a guy who's going to win you games and W's because the Colts going up against your Packers. Yeah, I like Green Bay in that one.
Me too.
Now, in this week where we're doing a tremendous amount of reaching, who should we be careful not to reach too far for?
I think, you know, there's Steve Smith's coming back for the Ravens wide receiver. So there were some people that were liking guys like Breshad Perriman or maybe Kamar Aiken. But if Steve Smith's going to be back, the only one you really want to start is Mike Wallace out of that group.
Okay.
Especially going against the Pittsburgh defense that ranks 26th against the pass. It might seem like a juicy matchup, but got to be careful there.
This is another thing about that game. Ben Roethlisberger, he gets hurt. Oh, it's a meniscus. It's not serious. It'll only be 2-3 weeks. Oh, wait a minute. It might be 3 to 6 weeks. And now he's back this week under center. Look, he's not going to be mobile.
Play.
Yeah, he is going to play.
Can you believe anything with anybody's injury report?
No, well,
I mean,
and especially
seriously.
Not Big Ben. I mean, he breaks a toe. The guy's tough as nails, but he breaks a toenail, and it's like, I don't know. I might miss a month, and then he's back the next week.
Yeah, right, absolutely. So you talk about guys coming back as well. What you're telling me is to start Percy Harvin to go off against Seattle's defense.
Oh, man.
I mean, you know, you love the revenge game factor, but I don't think we could start Percy Harvin.
Does he remember
this week.
Even how to put his shoulder pads on? Where's this clip go? It goes underneath.
Let's wait a week on Percy Harvin, okay?
Let's give it a sec.
And see if he even survives the Seahawks game because he may get pummeled by those guys so bad he doesn't.
I think Rex is going to send him out for the coin toss. You know that?
Yeah. Oh, he always does. He loves that kind of stuff.
He loves
those
just
mental games.
Get in your head, right?
He does.
Left town on a sour note. That's for sure.
Who's your blue plate special?
Blue plate special.
Yeah. Who do you like today?
I like Quincy Enunwa for the Jets.
No kidding.
Yep. He's been playing a lot better since he got healthy, and with Eric Decker out and Brandon Marshall taking those number one targets, I think he could have a good day against that Dolphins secondary.
I like Ezekiel Elliott.
Oh, really?
To go against the Browns. Well, first of all, they're playing the Browns, so that's automatic. I'm halfway home, okay?
Yeah.
Second of all, he went to Ohio State. Oh, I'm sorry. The Ohio State University, right? So now,
don't screw that up.
I won't, you know. So now, playing against the Cleveland Browns, he's looking to have the great game. I think on
he probably
the
will.
Offensive side of the ball.
That Dallas offense, Dak is a good start this week. Yeah. If he was somehow available, Dez obviously, Cole Beasley, Ezekiel Elliott, you can fire up all those guys against the Browns this week.
What about LeSean McCoy?
Oh, God.
He probably shouldn't play, right? I mean, if they want him the rest of the season, they should probably sit him. He gets an extra day of rest because it's Monday night. But, I mean, if you got LeSean McCoy, and I do, I mean, I've got a backup plan. But, I mean, do you trot him out there? Because your backup plan probably plays today.
Yeah. Well, there are a couple guys you could look toward, like C.J. Procise is a guy you can maybe scoop up. He's their rookie. He just came back. Had only like 87 yards won. Most of it came on a big trick play. But you could grab a guy like him. The advice I would say is if you have McCoy and you're worried, put him in your flex. And then that way try and get a wide receiver or C.J. Procise from that Monday night game.
There you go.
So if he doesn't go or you don't feel good about it, you just swap in somebody else.
See, that's why we have him come in here. He's smart like that.
He is smart like that. Yeah, the Bills really, I mean, just have to be looking at a wild card. Their last three games of the season, they end with Cleveland, Miami, and the Jets. So
that's not
those
bad.
Are all winnable. Yeah, but their next four after Seattle, they go to Cincinnati. Yeah, I don't know how
Point
I feel
flip.
About that. Right. They host the Jaguars. I like that. You go to Oakland, which the Raiders can't win at home, so I guess I like Buffalo. Win that game. You know, and then they host
the
Steelers.
Hold off on that Raider thought until after today.
Yeah. Home game. Why can't the Raiders win? 23 penalties.
Oh, my God.
Are you more embarrassed to be Jack Del Rio, a Raiders coach? Are you more embarrassed if you're the Bucks and said, how we gave 23 penalties?
I think you've got to be the Bucks.
The Bucks, right?
Because you had that. You had 23 times. Mm-hmm. You got a do-over, and you still lost the game?
23 times the ball actually moved closer to the goal line.
Yep.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
We awesome. Still couldn't win that
23
game.
Extra chips in your favor, and you couldn't get
5, 10, 15 yards. You know, here you go.
Alex, well done as usual. Thanks for coming by and giving us a tune-up that we really need in a tough week 9.
Thanks to you guys. Good luck to everybody in fantasy this week. Part 2 of the bye-week apocalypse.
Boy, no kidding. Yeah. Still to come on the program, a couple of things. Dave and Jeff will stop by, and we'll do the Charger report. And we're also going to get Nick Ferguson, former Bronco Nick Ferguson, talk about that Bronco-Raider rivalry. It's all coming up. Sports on Tap, 95.5 KLOS. 95.5 KLOS, Rock Southern California.
You like the yeah or do you like the yowza?
Yeah, I like both, actually. Yowza. I like the yowza, too. It's Sports on Tap with JD and the Bush. You know what? We're going to have some prizes this morning. This is pretty cool. This is one of the cool things when you live in L.A. Red carpet fan event for Allied, the new Brad Pitt war movie that they're saying is maybe the greatest war movie since Private Ryan, yada, yada. Ah. The Bruin Westwood Village Theater. I've got some passes this morning. We're going to be able to let somebody go attend this. That's really cool. Have you ever been over there?
Yeah, I've been to the Bruin Theater one time. It's cool. It's in a nice part of Westwood right over there. Yeah, downtown, a bunch of college students hanging out over there. They got this ice cream place where a bunch of students show up either basically drunk or, if you know what I mean, you know, looking for their final.
Yeah,
okay, well, college kids do that. Even at the esteemed UCLA, they do. It's called like P. Diddy's or something. They get these two ice cream. They get ice cream.
What's it called?
It's D Pitties, Puff Daddy, something like that. Who knows what?
What is it?
It's Diddy Reese.
Diddy Reese. Yeah, Diddy Reese. Thank you. Diddlees. Something like that. What happens is
you spend too much time on college campuses.
I know. I'm getting called a creeper. I don't know what that means, but yeah, you get this ice cream between these two cookies, and it's like $2. So of course, college kids at UCLA act like, you know, I'm saving a buck or two. Like you can't afford it. Come on, but they'll do that
campus.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stop
but hey,
it.
If you do go to this at the Bruin Theater, we're told if you wear your USC Trojans gear, you're going to get free popcorn and soda.
Right,
so just go ahead and go in and tell them JD from
Go ahead and
tell them JD
thank
from Sports
you, and
on
put
tests.
My name on you jerk.
jerk.
Yeah, just Trojan Westwood Village. Those things you got, don't jive,
that's
do
all
they?
You got to do. It's like
boss of the big screen. That's where we're at. And for me, look at it's all about this Raider game. It's Denver. They're at the Raiders. This big bad Denver defense. No Aqib Talib. He's having back problems. See, this is what happens to your team. You get in there and you win a Super Bowl, and then slowly but surely it starts to disintegrate right before your eyes. And that's what's happening here. But still, I mean, they're still – would you say they're the favorites to win the AFC West still?
The Broncos?
Yeah. Chargers? Chiefs?
Not the Chargers. No, I know who's in the
Raiders?
I know who's – You know, it's so hard to put a finger down on the Raiders. I mean, 6-2, what more can you ask for? They're undefeated.
A win at home is what you could ask for.
A win at home, but here's the deal. They've not played Denver, and you got Denver twice.
Yeah.
So let's see how you can do against Denver here. You do have more home games. It's crazy. You got more home games left on your schedule than you do road games, but you haven't been as good at home.
And check this out. The Raiders giving up a point at home.
Yeah, giving up a point to Denver. Well, it's you know, and that's
the big bad Broncos getting a point on the road. What?
That's simply you're a Super Bowl champ, and until the Raiders can show us something at home. You win this right here. I think whoever wins this is going to be everybody's favorite to win the division the rest of the way out. Still with half the season left. I would, because if the Raiders win, you say, look, you can beat Denver. You handled them. You're really good on the road. And if Denver wins, you know, that's nice, Raiders. You can beat the Bucks, but you still can't win the big one. So either way you play it.
That's my boss of the big screen. What do you got today?
I like Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Just by virtue of the fact, I know the Steelers are 4-3, Ravens are 3-4, but that's such a fun game to watch all the time. They absolutely hate each other. The game is in Baltimore. It's going to level the playing field a little bit. The Steelers have a losing record on the road.
Ben doesn't play that great there.
I don't know. Is Ben going to play?
We think he's going to play.
What if he trips and falls getting off the bus? I mean, something could happen.
Well, then he'll hold a press conference and say, hey, I skinned my knee. I might not be able to start, and then he'll start anyway.
Right, he could.
That's how he rolls.
I don't know what's going to happen, man. If he sits on like a bottle of Heinz 57 funny on the bus, it puts a spasm, you know, who knows, man, what we're going to get with that guy. But it's just always, it's one of those things you can throw the numbers out. I don't care you got Antonio Brown. I don't care if Le'Veon Bell's playing. I don't care if he's high or if he's not, whatever. It doesn't matter, okay? It's when those two teams get together, this has SEC football written all over it, 12-9. Someone's going to win ugly. Take the under is all I know.
All right. There's your boss of the big screen. And here's what we're going to do right now. 20th caller right now, 800-955-KLOS. We've got a pair of these passes for you. Red carpet event for Allied, Brad Pitt's new movie. Caller 20 at 800-955-KLOS. We'll hook you
up SC gear.
With a pair of,
fight on.
Pair of tickets. Yeah, please don't do that. And then coming up next, we'll talk to our guys Dave and Jeff down in San Diego and get that Charger report. KLOS, it's Sports on Tap, Sunday morning, 7 to 9, with JD and the Bush. We do this every weekend. Thank you for joining us. Again, congratulations to Yvonne. Yvonne wins the tickets to go see the new Brad Pitt movie, Allied. I got more of those coming up. But right now on the line, we're going to go down San Diego. It's time for our Charger report. Jeff Dotseth on the line from the Dave and Jeff Show. And we say good morning to Jeff. Hey there, buddy.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
We're doing really good, but I have to tell you, so I have to admit something to you. I was watching the Charger game last week, and I'm watching Melvin Gordon just go absolutely crazy. The Chargers get the ball down at the goal line. I don't know, Jeff, tell me, was it the one-yard line where they ran the two-yard line, and they ran four consecutive pass plays and didn't even look at Melvin Gordon? What the hell was that?
You know what's funny, J.D.? If they had done this a year ago, it would have been absolutely understandable because Melvin Gordon was a joke in the red zone. The problem is it wasn't a year ago. It's this year where Melvin Gordon has been one of the bounce-back comeback players of the year. I guess you had to have been some kind of success at one point to be a comeback player. Melvin Gordon had a terrible rookie year, and he has been much better in year two. And in that situation, when you're down there, and think about this, you have two offensive minds. Mike McCoy, the Chargers head coach, got this job from being the Broncos offensive coordinator. And the Chargers offensive coordinator is Ken Whisenhunt, who's been part of Super Bowl teams, both with the Steelers and Cardinals. And they try to throw the ball four times. Look, this team is desperate. They have a vote for a new stadium on Tuesday. Over the years, the organization could have done 1,000 things different, and they did none of them, and that's why they're in big trouble down here.
Well, you're a four-point favorite. Good morning, Jeff. It's the Bush here. But a four-point favorite against a Tennessee team. Here's what's weird, though. Tennessee's actually got a winning record on the road. But, I mean, come on. They won in Detroit. They won in Miami. That was a one-point win they had in Detroit. But still, it's a road win in the NFL. For some reason, I still feel like this is a small line. I like the Chargers by double digits. I have no faith at all in Marcus Mariota in Tennessee.
Especially on the road.
What am I missing? But if they're 2-1 on the road, but how?
Yeah, I'll tell you why, Rob, why I think a lot of people take that bet. I think they would take your bet because the one thing Tennessee can do is run the ball. And the one thing the Chargers have always struggled with is stopping the run. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe that gets a little different with the continuing growth of Joey Bosa, but that front seven is young and it is banged up. And right now, I think if I'm coming in here and I'm Mike Mularkey, the one thing I'm trying to do is stuff the ball down the Chargers' throat
all day
because a lot of teams have had success doing that.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to make a prediction here as DeMarco Murray, one of the three best running backs in football a couple years ago with Dallas.
Yep. Right? Easy.
Then he goes to Philadelphia for a year. It's a downgrade. Now he's at Tennessee, a downgrade. Next year will be his last year in the NFL playing for Cleveland. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, why not? They take him in Minnesota right now. They have nobody to run the ball. But, one of those – it just shows you guys, doesn't it? How quickly, this is why the average NFL career is just 3 years.
Spit you up and shoot you out.
A couple of years ago, you're a world beater, and now he may lose his full-time gig to the rookie out of Alabama, Derrick Henry. Yeah.
So the bright spot, I guess, for the Chargers this year is once you finally got Joey Bosa on the field, he looks like a pretty good NFL-caliber player, doesn't he?
Yeah, he absolutely does, J.D., and I think that's one thing for San Diego. There has not been a lot to cheer for. They've been devastated by injuries. You guys know the line. Keenan Allen, Manti Te'o, Danny Woodhead, so many big Jason Verrett have all gone down for the year out. But I think once you finally got Bosa in and you were done being a laughingstock of the league, man, he's a fun guy to watch, and he was being interviewed yesterday on TV. He fits in perfect with San Diego. He looks like a guy who grew up in Ocean Beach. He doesn't have a care in the world, just going out, enjoying the game. San Diego fell in love with Joey Bosa very quickly.
Yeah, they'll forget about those holdouts once you start producing out there. Let's hope he can keep up that production. I'm going to call it now. The Chargers rip off four straight. Tennessee, Miami, Houston, and Tampa Bay. They could even win a fifth straight at Carolina because, you know, Cam Newton, he's going to be concussed and be on the phone with Roger Goodell. He may actually miss the game because he's on a call with Goodell. I don't know if you heard that. But then you get the Raiders at home and the Browns and Chiefs to finish out the season. So, Jeff, man, we appreciate you for being with us. Go Bolts, right?
Yeah, I would just say one thing, though. Remember, it's the same guy that wouldn't give the ball to Melvin Gordon last week that's still coaching this team, JD. Be careful on any money you bet on this team.
I'm not betting on that team, but I'm, again, not a Charger fan, but I was yelling at my television that Mike McCoy needs to be fired. That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
How long till Rivers calls an audible, and he just starts drawing, you know, with his finger down in the dirt?
In the dirt.
I'll leave you guys with this. In the last 10 years of Philip Rivers' career, he's either been coached by Norv Turner or Mike McCoy. This organization owes him an apology.
Norv Turner's available now, isn't he?
Dave and Jeff Show out of San Diego. Always a pleasure. Thanks, Jeff.
Bye, buddy.
I'll talk to you later.
How about Norv Turner just stepping down? Yeah, I've had it. I've had it with this. You know, that offense is eventually going to catch up with you. I mean, someone's going to open up the mail and read the memo. Dude, Sam Bradford's your quarterback, and you don't have Adrian Peterson. You should not be undefeated.
Coming up next, the Raider report. Right, backed up after the Charger report. Maybe we should put these two together in a cage match. It's Rock Southern California, 95.5 KLS. Jump in at any time.
Boom.
We're going to do our Raider report here, I think. There we go. All right. Let's go ahead and pull up line one there. I'm sure that's the outraged attorney on line one. Is that you? Got it, man. Uh-oh. Listen, I got a phone call from this guy yesterday. It's like, I have to be on the show tomorrow. I said, okay, well, we'd like to put you on the show anyway. What do you need to be on the show for? You're outraged. Tell us why you're outraged.
Why am I outraged?
Yes.
I can't believe that they're not going to give Kenny Stabler a yellow jacket, a Hall of Fame ring. This is ridiculous. You know, Al Davis once said that there is a conspiracy against the Raiders. I believed him then. I believe him now. And there's a little note, I am sure, that's passed down from every commissioner, starting with Pete Rozelle to Paul Tagliabue, now to Roger Goodell. And it says, do anything you can to make the Raiders' life miserable. And it's true.
Just a tiny bit of background here on the story where Drew is talking about. Drew is the show's attorney here on 95.5 KLOS. And he is a Raider fan, if you can't tell. But he's also talking about the fact that...
I'm objective, Jim.
For a living, you're objective.
No, your objection is what you are.
But in this case, the Hall of Fame has actually come out and said that they will not give Kenny Stabler's family a jacket and a ring to go with his Hall of Fame enshrinement. I don't think the NFL could come off looking any cheaper.
I mean, listen, did they not give Red Grange a jacket and a ring? Did they not give, you know, Otto Graham a jacket and a ring? Of course they did. It's the Raiders, Alan Davis. They're mad because he was a coach, a manager, a commissioner. He did everything. He made this league what it was. Sorry.
So he's in the Hall of Fame, but yet you don't get the ring. I mean, it's come on.
Listen, I mean, what's next? I mean, you're going to go knock on doors every time a Hall of Famer dies, say, all right, lady, let's have it. Give it up. Let's have the jacket and the ring. Let's go. Clothing and the jewelry. Yeah. Let's go. I mean, it's ridiculous. Oh, he doesn't get one because what? Because he can't wear it?
Yeah, you know, I'm sorry. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to start a class action against the Hall of Fame.
Well, I did read, maybe this helps you out, Drew. I read that they're actually going to display his bust only 3 days a week. Because it's posthumous, so the other 4 days are actually going to put it away. Just turn the lights off around it. That's not cool either. So add that to your suit.
Well, I will, because you know what? Wouldn't surprise me. Once again, I believe that there is a little note that was passed down from Pete Rozelle to Paul Tagliabue to Roger Goodell that says, "Do anything you can to make the Raiders' lives miserable." And that's what it is.
Our engineer Davis standing here nodding his head, holding the sign, says, "I totally agree."
Wow, not good. You know, here's a good thing though. We know the way that NFL players, you know, piss away their money, their lives, and stuff. Just give it a few weeks. Honestly, someone's going to have their ring, and someone's going to have their jacket on eBay anyway. I mean, we could buy it, we could resize it at a tailor, and give it to his family. It's just not the same thing, though, is it?
No, it's not. Except for the fact that we hear those stories all the time. But what you don't hear about those stories, it never is a Raider. That's what you don't hear.
You're right. I've heard stories. Some, you know, a Packer is homeless, winds up in the back of an alley. Someone stole a Super Bowl ring.
You really want to hear him get wound up? Hey, what do you think about that Raider Bronco game later on tonight?
Oh, I cannot wait.
Here he goes.
Listen, everybody doubts the Raiders. I hear all this, the naysayers saying that we're just a fly by the night. This is not real. You know, this is where the rubber meets the road. I cannot wait till all these people can eat their words.
You know what? Let's talk about some words now. Here's your beloved quarterback, Derek Carr, talking about how it's an honor to play on Sunday night. The whole world is going to be watching. Drew, here's your QB1.
I honestly block it out. Like, you know, it's cool. You know, it's all fun and cool to talk about. But when it comes down to it, when the ball's kicked off, you know, you just want to win. You know, it doesn't change anything, and that's with any game. That's all we, you know, are doing all this, you know, hard work and weightlifting and practice and studying. You know, we just want to win the game. So once it's kicked off, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, even if it meant something to somebody, it doesn't really matter.
Seems to me like he's been in the league 10 years, man, the way he's talking. I think that's good. This is probably, would you agree, the biggest game that he's had in his career thus far to this point?
Yeah, I would say so. No question.
Yeah, to this point, most definitely. And I love his attitude. Mm-hmm. I love how he takes it as, this is just another game. Yep. And did you hear what he said, though? A very key point. He said, just win, baby. I mean, it is pervasive through the entire organization. I love it.
So is penalties. This team has always been penalized, and last week was a beauty, man. 23, new NFL record, and it belongs in the Raider Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's not going to get touched for a long time. When teams get 10 or 12, they're bitching.
That's,
you know what I mean? 23. That's unbelievable.
He must go down, and he must go down hard.
All right. Good man.
Beyond the whistle, what can I say?
Drew Sherman from the Adley Law Group right here in Los Angeles. Thanks very much, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Looking forward to tonight.
Talk to you later. I know
oh,
you are.
Man. I'd be more ashamed for the Bucs. You got to be. 23 times, Jim.
Man.
I got the ball, and I'm marching closer to the opponents. It's a free play. Here it is. Here's 15 extra yards for you, JD. Oh, you still can't get in and win? Here's 10 extra yards. Here's 5 extra yards times 23 plays.
All what? Right. 800-955-KLOS. That's our number. You're going to need that number. I'll tell you why next. Rock Southern California 95.5 KLOS from Jimi Hendrix this morning, Foxy Lady. It's JD and the Bush. We're doing sports on tap this morning. Coming up in just a couple minutes from the Denver Broncos, a former Denver Bronco, Nick Ferguson going to join us. Big game tonight between Raiders and Broncos. That's been a common thread in our show today, but I want to steer over to the baseball side of things really quick. Did you hear about Dexter Fowler and what he bought the Cub organization, everyone in the Cub organization? You know what Dexter Fowler is.
Yeah, Fowler's an awesome dude.
He bought 108 bottles of customized Johnny Walker Blue Label Scotch for 108 people in the organization, from Theo on down. Everybody got a customized one. Like Joe Maddon's said, embrace the target, which was like their mantra the whole season long.
Yeah,
108 bottles of Johnny Walker Blue. How much did he spend
Fowler's on that? An awesome dude. He used to play for Colorado for the Rockies. Uh-huh. And just my 20-second Dexter Fowler story. When the Rockies were in town, they had Troy Tulowitzki. He used to play at Long Beach State. I was Tulo's radio guy. He's like, Bush, great to see you, bro, but I got to go do this thing. I'm going to the All-Star game. I don't got time for an interview today. Dex, talk to my man, Rob. Fowler gets up out of his seat, says, come here and sit in my chair in the locker room. I'll give you whatever it is. Fowler goes, what do you need? Let's do this. Let's do that. What do you need? He made things. He went over, got me a cup of Gatorade.
Don't do that. They don't let you sit in their chairs.
He let me sit in his chair, got me some Gatorade, and said, are you okay? You sure everything's all right with you, Rob? And I'm like, everything's
fine. Because you were friends with Tulo, right?
Because I was friends. That's the only reason. He rolled the red carpet out for me. For that reason, I love Dexter Fowler, man.
Oh, by the way, Cub fans, maybe not going to love Dexter Fowler. He's going to be seeking free agency before next season starts. Wow.
The grass isn't any greener. You're going to get Wrigley Field right now. I mean, come on.
Never is, nope. All right, Bushka fact, shall we?
We shall.
Let's.
Now, Bushka facts.
That is incredible.
What?
Incredible yet true.
You know, never noticed until just now. There's a bleep in there. Something's bleeped in there. Was it in Russian and you just bleeped it to be careful?
It is in Russian, yeah. Okay. You know, but I'm quite certain we don't have any Russian speakers that listen to us this early in the morning. Maybe we do. Maybe we do. This
just
is a diverse audience.
So.
Yeah,
okay.
Just in case. Absolutely. Right. Told you, the FCC's closed on Sunday. All right, the Carolina Panthers, they're in town today taking on your beloved Rams. It's 1 o'clock kickoff at the Coliseum where they rip you off for your parking. So if you've not got parking yet, believe me, don't do it. Park across the street.
How many
and
weeks
one of those
ago little, that?
Oh, God, still, week two, I'm still pissed
that.
Off. Absolutely.
Week
I should I should be, you know, but just park across the street in a private condo. The traffic will be much better for you. Figure it out, all right? But the Panthers, they were involved in a touchdown play. It's only happened once in NFL history. And do you know what it is?
They were involved in a touchdown play that's only happened once in NFL history?
Yes, it was. I'm going to give it away now.
No.
It was a play where Cam Newton did not complain to the refs.
Well, I don't know about that. I want the lyrics to this song.
I told you, it's from The Hunt from Red October. Listen to it. It's when they're fleeing Russia and you hear everybody singing. It's okay. It's fine. I'm here to help.
I'm going to watch that movie.
I'm a man of the people. All right. Oh, man.
What do you got?
All right. We mentioned the Panthers are in town taking on the Rams today, but the Panthers were involved in a touchdown play. It's happened one time in NFL history. It was in a home game. They took on the Minnesota Vikings back in 97, and quarterback Brad Johnson. He accomplished what no other quarterback has done in NFL history. Of course, Johnson was with the Vikings at that time. He threw a touchdown pass to himself.
How do you throw a touchdown pass to yourself?
Well, I've tried it. What you do is you just lob it up high.
Really
you run
high.
Underneath it and catch it. No, you're not able
to
do it.
You're such a fast guy. I want to see you run and do that in the parking lot.
Well, I could skate there quicker than I could run there, that's for sure. But the play was batted. It was batted.
Oh, batted ball at the line.
Did you see that? It was batted
really?
To himself. He caught it. Boom.
That's
touchdown.
Only happened for a touchdown
one time
in like 100 years of NFL football. Are you serious?
Right. And that to me is Brett Favre's most memorable moment. Sorry, Packer fans out there. His first completion ever came when it was batted to himself and he caught it. Yeah. So there you go. It's the only thing I ever remember of Brett Favre. I think he won a couple other games, did some things here and there,
yeah,
had some cheese
things.
Along the way. But
side note,
you know.
The new Brett Favre book that just came out last week, Gunslinger, is absolutely amazing. It's great stuff. Great book. Jeff Perlman, I think.
You
is
read
the
it already?
Name. Yeah.
Uh-huh. In a week?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm working on a book from high school, man. If it doesn't have pictures and open up sideways, and I can't
dial
pin it up, I don't want
former
it.
Bronco Nick Ferguson next. Hopefully Nick will pick up the phone and join us, talk a little
maybe he's
Bronco.
Reading.
He might be. Bronco.
If he didn't go to an SEC school, then he's not
rivalry.
Reading.
Right? It's coming up on KLOS. And the Bush, glad that you've tuned us in here this morning. NFL Week 9, halfway through the season, if you can believe that already. Wow, season half gone. And some pretty big stuff on tap today. One of the biggest things on tap, and it's moved into the NBC primetime game at 5:30 p.m., the Denver Broncos at the Oakland Raiders. I guess you could say the surprising Oakland Raiders. But we're going to go to the phones now and bring in former Denver Bronco, and that is Nick Ferguson. Nick, welcome to 95.5 KLOS. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, I see you kicked it off with a little bit of Hell's Bell.
Yeah.
I really like that. That is kind of coincide with what we're going to talk about, because playing with the Oakland Raiders, they love AC/DC. Yeah. They love it a lot.
Yeah, you know, you get that Amari Cooper, Derek Carr, AC/DC connection going on there. We got this big rivalry game. Talk to us this first, Nick, about rivalry games in the NFL. We know that NFL's, I mean, it's the top level of your sport, but talk about when you get into these rivalries that are much older than you, even you are.
Well, yeah, the rivalries are really big, and, you know, we don't really have them in the NFL anymore. Now, we have certain teams from a rivalry standpoint. You got Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers, which is the oldest rivalry in the NFL, but it's not like what it used to be, where fans really didn't like the other fans and the players did not like the other players. But in this match we're going to see on Sunday night, the Denver Broncos and the Oakland Raiders, these organizations do not like each other. It goes back to when Mike Shanahan, you know, my former Denver Broncos coach, mm-hmm. was a young coach with the Oakland Raiders, and Al Davis fired him.
Yep.
Al Davis here owed him money on his contract and told Mike, hey, listen, if you want the money back, take me to court, but you're going to spend more money in court than what I owe you.
Wow. Right?
So as players, we knew that story. If you were a rookie coming in, if you were a free agent coming in, at some point you were going to know that story before you played the Oakland Raiders. So you know that it goes far beyond X's and O's with these two organizations.
So you're in the bus with the Broncos pulling into Oakland Alameda County Stadium. What's that experience like? Were the fans all standing on the side of the road waving to say hi, welcome to Oakland?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they gave us the Oakland welcome. It wasn't hands waving. It was just a one-finger gesture. And then they were throwing eggs at our bus. And it's just like, you know, it doesn't make a difference what happens in the game. If we lose the game, it's going to be the same way going out as it was coming in.
No doubt.
They're giving us your number one finger, and they're throwing eggs at our bus. But it's one of those atmospheres that you really love to be a part. If you're a young player coming in the league and you're playing for either team, it's a great atmosphere because both teams get after it. Whether you're playing in Mile High or you're playing in the Oakland Coliseum, the fans are going to let you have it. And it's a great atmosphere to go out and play football, and that's why we play.
He's Nick Ferguson joining us here at Sports on Tap 95.5 KLOS. Nick, of course, played with the Denver Broncos. Good morning, Nick. It's the Bush here. How impressed are you with Derek Carr and Amari Cooper? If they can keep this thing together, I mean, this can last for a decade there in Oakland if they do it right.
Well, if they do it right, yeah, they can. You got to think about it. They haven't had anything like this in some time. You got to go back to,
Mark Wilson and Doakie Williams and Cliff Branch in the 80s.
Yeah, exactly.
Jim Plunkett.
You have to go back so far that was the last time mm-hmm. the Oakland Raiders were relevant. You're talking about Rich Gannon when they went to the Super Bowl to play against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But the idea is, they wanted to build a chemistry. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have to blow things up and start off from the very beginning. And they did that by going out and get Derek Carr. Then it was like, well, we need a marquee wide receiver. They went and got Amari Cooper. Now they have, you know, Crabtree on the other side, who did not do that well with the other Bay Area team in the San Francisco 49ers.
Right.
But when you talk about hitting pay dirt, I mean, Derek Carr and Crabtree, I mean, they have been sensational, especially making clutch catches when they count. So you know, this is not going to be as cut and dry as everyone wants to make it seem with the Denver Broncos, who has a banged-up secondary.
Right.
But these two teams are going to get after it. I can't wait to see the matchup with Aqib Talib and Bradley Roby with these two wide receivers.
Hey, Nick, I want to talk to you a little bit about something. We know the Broncos are a stud defensive team. Reminds me a lot of my team, the Seahawks, as well. I think easily the best two defenses in the league. But try to play general manager if you can. It's not easy for guys like John Elway and John Schneider in Seattle. When it comes to money, Denver, it's no secret. They've given it to everybody on defense. So has Seattle as well. It's hard to limp through with an offense when Peyton Manning's gone, and you really see that effect. It's, I think, a testament to how well they're doing this year, 6-2, with really a lot of guys that have left that team.
Well, here's what you've got to look at, and I'll go back. Aqib is not going to play. Chris Harris is going to be with them during that matchup between the two wide receivers. But you look at John Elway. He's been to four Super Bowls. He's lost a lot of Super Bowls. And as an offensive mind, he understands how you win Super Bowls. You win Super Bowls by playing great defense. That's just something, on all those losses that he had, he didn't have a great defense. He didn't win until he had a great defense around him, and Terrell Davis had the running back position. So, yeah. That's what happens. You put all your money, all the eggs in one basket on the defensive side of the ball. That's why we saw Von Miller get a ridiculous amount of money, $70 million. Yeah. And everyone's saying, well, why did he get that much money? He got that much money because he was a defensive MVP, or let's just say MVP of the Super Bowl. And the way that you neutralize great elite passers, you have to have elite pass rushers. Everyone's talking about Matt Ryan and the numbers that he's putting up, which is great. Mm-hmm. But as the Atlanta Falcons progress through the playoffs, if they get there, they're going to face a much better defense than they faced at the beginning of the season. So it's all about defense, fellas.
You know, before we let you go here, give us a prediction on tonight's game on NBC, 5:30, Denver, Oakland. We've talked about the rivalry factor. We've talked about the players. What do you think? What's your prediction for tonight's game?
Well, it's going to be a tough game, fellas, but I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to call it 28-21 in favor of the Denver Broncos. And one of those touchdowns that the Broncos score
defense
is either going to be on a sack, forced fumble, or pick six.
Look at that.
Wow.
Awesome stuff. Listen, Nick, I know you're really busy today. Thanks for taking time out of your schedule to talk to us this morning on 95.5 KLOS. Good to have you on.
Thanks, man.
All right. Call me anytime.
All right, will do. Nick Ferguson right there, 6 years with the Broncos. Didn't you know he was getting – you know he's going to pick the Broncos.
You're not going to find a former player because guess what's going to happen?
Because we send that tape up and go, oh, look what your guy just said.
Yeah, in 20 minutes, you know, some listener is going to put that out there. The former Bronco said this, and he's not going to be welcome anymore in Lodo, as they call it in Denver.
I've got UCLA football tickets. UCLA versus Oregon State. UCLA, Oregon State, Rose Bowl, November 12th. Want to go? Caller 20 right now, 800-955-KLOS, you win. It's Rock Southern California, 95.5 KLOS, doing Sports on Tap with JD in the Bush. And congratulations are going out to Dave Romero from Aliso Viejo. He's caller 20. He gets the tickets to see UCLA, Oregon State, Rose Bowl. Hey, a tough sledding for the Bruins after losing Josh Rosen, their quarterback. I mean, this guy's got such an arm and it's so much fun to watch, but no more this year.
It's been a tough season for him. Things looking up for SC. They've won 5 in a row. They got to go to Washington next week. And actually, that's just been named breaking news, College Game Day from ESPN. We'll be up there in Seattle to watch the Huskies win that by 21 points. Go Dogs.
So they've moved their schedule and they're going to Seattle.
They're going to Seattle now for that SC-Washington game next week.
Excellent. Well, that'll be good. USC and Washington next week, and now the national attention that it deserves. All right, shall we do a little Who Goes Off?
Of course we shall.
Football, football.
Time for the picks.
Let's go!
Football, football.
Let's see who goes off this week.
Football.
Can I make it 2 weeks in a row? I had Tom Brady. I'm a low-hanging fruit kind of guy. I am. I'm that guy that, you know, goes into the bar at closing time at 1:45, you know, and just comes out. Yeah, it's easier. Back in my old days. Yeah. It's easier. Why put the legwork in? That's what you're here for, JD. You do a great job with the show prep, by the way. So who goes off? Drew Brees, okay? Because A, the Niners are horrible. B, I saw Drew Brees about 50 yards away from me. Beat Seattle's defense, which is hard to do. So I'm quite certain he can do it, even on the road in San Francisco. Drew Brees, look for him to have another great day. Saints get back to 500, and the Niners will be saying, damn, Jim Harbaugh, are you still available? Oh, no, wait.
Can I ask just how painful that was to get on a plane, grab your kid, fly halfway across the country, go to New Orleans, and have your team do that?
No, it wasn't too bad at all. I mean, the seats that I had, this is the first time I've ever been in the front row. My seats, if I go to Seattle, are the 11th row. You know, there was literally nobody in front of me.
Really?
Seats right there in the front row on the sideline. Yeah, Bobby Hebert hooked it up, former Saints quarterback, which was nice. My show on in New Orleans there, and they did a great job taking care of us.
His son is a character on the radio. Yeah, you talked to his son?
T-Bob, yeah. Right, yeah.
T-Bob Hebert.
Yep, him and Bobby were the ones that left the tickets.
We need to get him. That's who we need to get on the show is T-Bob Hebert.
Yeah, T-Bob Hebert was a good time. But he told me everywhere to go. But, you know, I had so much fun after the fact. But, see, I didn't get as frustrated because I could see why it's happening. I could see how bad the offensive line is. If you're not going to fix it, it's not like, where did that come from? I can see it on the wall. They'll limp by Buffalo, but I'm telling you now, they'll lose by 3 touchdowns in New England next week.
All right, congratulations to Dave Romero. He wins the UCLA football tickets.
Dave.
Way to go, Dave. Oh, wait, let me do my Hugo's side.
You got
do
one, too.
My side.
You're part of the show.
Say goodbye.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to say today?
Is it
still
on?
Okay.
Sports on tap.
I'm going to say Aaron Rodgers today. And you know why I want to say Aaron Rodgers today?
Because Andrew Luck's overrated.
Well, number one, Andrew Luck could maybe mean a shootout because they can put up some points offensively over there. But the other thing is they got nobody to run the ball. I think they have to throw the ball. I think Aaron Rodgers has to throw the ball like 45 times today.
Right. And I think there's a good chance that Andrew Luck, I like what you're saying here, he's going to get intercepted because when he drops back, his neck beard will actually come up in front of his face and he can't see his receivers. He's going to throw to the guys in green and gold.
Just got to get that stuff out of there.
That's
neck beard stuff not made.
Dude, he's
for
got Chipotle from 2012 hanging around in that thing. It's disgusting. Shave it.
I have run across another prize here. Red carpet fan event for Allied. This is the new Brad Pitt movie. Want to go?
Yeah, 800. Don't even get mad. Let's just go. 800.